is trying to figure out how to get guests to come back more often.
Mm-hmm.
And try to make the guest experience really something. I mean, I know that I have a hardcore of very loyal repeat customers,
mm-hmm.
and they come to us maybe once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
The question is, how do we get them to come more often?
So,
and we have some programs working, and we've done marketing, and we've tried a number of things, but it's still just about the same.
Tell me about your restaurant a little bit. Price
okay.
point and all that stuff.
It's all right. It's a hamburger and malt shop. It's called Johnny Rockets.
Okay.
And I don't know, what area of the country are you in?
I'm in the Northwest.
She's in town with me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I don't know if there are any Johnny Rockets around you, but it's a franchise organization of 135
mm-hmm.
stores, and I'm here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And the price points are, about $8 for lunch or dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We're open from 11 a.m. until midnight,
mm-hmm.
7 days a week. We serve hamburgers that we do on a grill right in front of you with a U-shaped counter,
mm-hmm.
and malts that we scoop from real ice cream and chocolate,
wow.
and shakes, and we have really killer fries and apple pie and maybe a half a dozen other sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have we've been here for 14 years. We have a very loyal core of customers, and 60% of our business is regular customers, and 40% are people that were just passing by or heard about us. We're not a destination restaurant, really.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a main street of a suburb of Atlanta.
Okay.
And with good signage and good parking. And it's just a kind of an old-fashioned hamburger malt shop from the 40s. We have nickel jukeboxes, and we play Elvis and tunes of the 40s and 50s. And our servers all wear soda jerk hats and bow ties. And
cute.
They sing and dance every so often.
Do they really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we have about 8 records that they mouth the words to and dance.
Oh, really? That is cool.
So when they come on the jukebox, they just start dancing.
Well,
so it's a real cool place, and we have all ages. You know, mm-hmm. we have older people, we have younger people. Everyone seems to enjoy it. But it's just a matter of, I like to boost sales like everyone.
What do you have, like, certain times a year where you have peaks? Like, I mean, up here? When
yeah, this, anytime the kids are out of school, it's the peak.
Okay, so summertime's busy, holidays
oh,
are
yeah.
busy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think those are areas, I always look at the parts where it's slow, where can I increase volume there? So that's something to look at from one angle.
Right.
And I know that's something that we do in the slow period. We're just about ready to get to our slow period. Probably this middle of next month we'll start going way down.
Uh-huh.
What we do is we do fall and winter dinner specials.
Uh-huh.
It was before I started at the Ties, but they do like burger specials, like 2-for-1 burgers on a certain night of the week. So we get people that would maybe come in on another night of the week, maybe to come in one more time during the week.
Okay.
One night we do 2-for-1 pizzas, one night's 2-for-1 burgers, one night's 2-for-1 taco salads. So we have a hard time with food costs during that time, but what we're getting is people to come in. We're getting people, we call it butts and seats, to make
right.
the building. I don't know what your square footage is, but ours is a little bit, it's kind of old, how would I explain it, old feed store type setting. So it's
yeah.
high ceilings. So if there's not bodies in the building, it looks even more empty than normal. So
oh,
we're
yeah,
trying to get butts and seats. So,
uh-huh.
And that, it took a little while to get the interest going in that, but we advertise it now. It's our, like our 15th year that we've done it. And our sales have...
How many does your restaurant seat?
195. So...
And what are your sales a year?
2.2.
That's great.
Yeah, when you consider it's burgers, I mean, our price point sounds like it's about the same as yours. We do have fish that goes up to $11.95, which that's our highest item, but we sell a ton of burgers, a ton of sandwiches, and a lot of pizzas, which are around $8 a person. We sell a ton of beer, too. We're a tavern, so we don't let kids in. So we have to fight with that one, too. You've got the kid venue, so maybe you do something like... an early bird special or a kids eat free special or something to drive the public to come back in one more time. And if you pick a specific day, like your slower days, we pick Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to do our specials. Then you get them to come in on the slow day and then maybe on the weekday too.
That's great.
That's one idea. I'm trying to think of... you know, I think that's cool that you guys do that, the singing to the music, that you create fun for customers. Another thing that I really preach to my staff is getting to know who your customers are. So when they come in, you say, hey, Bill, how's it going? You know, how's your wife?
Right.
How was your last trip? A little welcoming. And I use
That's true. That's good.
I've done competitions, whoever... knows.
You serve alcohol?
Yeah, just beer and wine. You guys not?
No, we don't, unfortunately.
Well, you know, so just knowing that fact, I would spin off on that. I mean, so how do you go business there too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, your business is real good.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I've always thought, I haven't done this at the Tides yet, but that would be another avenue to grow the business is to expand the to-go business to maybe you do delivery or maybe you a flyer within that, three-block radius around your restaurant to come give us a call and we'll have your food ready when you get here or maybe you do delivery. You open up a can of worms with liability if you do delivery, but there's other... avenues to get that bottom line a little bigger. And then this is the time I always do a lot of coaching on morale and team building.
Yeah.
And the more positive energy you got in that building, I mean, people like to be around that stuff, so they come back more often. I know that my regulars, I see them a couple times a day sometimes, or 3 or 4 times a week, just because they like to sit down and, you know, hang out with their buddies. Or do you guys have TVs in there?
No, we don't.
I don't know if it's a proper venue for that, but we're not really a sports bar, but we've got 5 or 6 TVs that we always have the Mariners on.
Could you hold on for a second? The other phone's ringing.
Yeah.
And you're out running around, huh?
Yeah. What?
You were out.
I was out. I'm glad because I had this all written down, and I was going to go pick up my kid from school. I would have been gone.
I'm sorry, Kathy.
That's okay. Well, I wrote it down 2 or 3 times, and I said 3:30 or 3:30, but then I didn't consider the source of who we were calling. I guess the area code should have given it away.
Well, it said Eastern time on there, but
yeah. I mean, of course, I just breeze right over that part. Major fact.
Yeah.
So you're in town, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hi. I'm trying to think of, what was I talking about? Oh, education. You can also think of it this way. You want these guys to come back more often. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
How about while they're there, selling them more? Like,
that's good.
You know, maybe create an incentive for your servers that whoever sells
the most
whatever.
Extras.
Yeah, extras. I don't know what you do. Fries.
We have a lot of extras.
Yeah. See, all that extra stuff adds up.
Yeah.
Do they get ring outs at the end of the day too?
Oh yeah.
So they could look at their ring outs and go, you know.
$20
extra.
That's very
on
true.
Yeah.
The other way, Stan. The other way to build volume is to get them to is to increase the party size.
Yeah.
To get them to bring in do some programs to get them to bring in some friends.
Do they? Do you do reservations?
No, we can't.
You can't?
I mean, we just have a
No, it's sort of a counter. It's an old malt shop.
Our whole restaurant is 22 seats around a counter and a patio.
Oh wow! So you're small.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, maybe something like birthdays. Hit people up.
We do a lot with birthday parties.
Okay.
Do you have a birthday club?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that's good.
So you're building your database.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
So you know you have the names of the folks.
And we're now going to the email address.
Oh, okay. Do you do mailings from your email?
Yes, we do periodically.
Yeah, see, that's cool. We have a Tides family where we have a database for every week or every couple of weeks. We send out what's going on at the Tides. You know, we're either having a steel drum band or, you know, Oktoberfest or. And you said you're in a mall or you're on a strip?
We're on a strip.
Okay, what goes on the strip? Anything exciting?
We're on a street that has every fast food concept in the country on the street.
Oh, my God. So you got some competition.
They're all here. McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, Champs, Rally's, you name it. They're here.
What about a punch card?
Well, we have what we call a frequent diner club.
Oh, good.
And you present this card, and we give you 15% off.
Oh, that's great. I just know that. Have you ever heard?
And that's real popular.
Yeah.
Hold on again. Pardon me.
Sure. So, have you been to Taco Del Mar?
Oh, over in the shopping center there.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
They have a little punch card thing.
Uh huh.
And I think it's Double Punch Monday or something like that. Oh, that's a good idea. If he did Double Punch Monday or on of his slower days, get people to come on those days. You know, I just thought of something else he should think about his timing as far as how long people are in his establishment. Is his turn time quick?
It would. My guess is that it would be.
Yeah.
Just knowing that operation.
Yeah, they get him in and get him out. Is that what they kind of do?
Well, it's an old burger joint.
Yeah. That's, so they get stuff, eat, and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have actual servers that come to the table?
Most of it's counter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sit at the counter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think there are some. I don't know. They probably vary. I've been in some that have...
Hi, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do you have table service, Dan?
No, we don't.
Okay.
So just bar, and then they can order at the bar and go out to the patio.
Right, right.
Okay.
No, actually, there's seats at the bar.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a count. It's just the lunch, you know, the...
But we have table service in the patio.
Oh, okay. So
we have eight tables.
Okay. And is there ever a time where you're full to the capacity?
Oh, a lot.
Okay, so that's something I'd look at. So you're full to capacity. Is there efficiency in your service? Do you have enough labor on? Because I know as a diner, that's a turnoff for me. I mean, it's exciting to be in a place that's packed, but if I have to wait too long for anything, then I go, well, I'm not going to go back there because I don't have time. I'm too busy.
Yeah.
So I would...
Yeah, no, we're busy. I mean, we're packed about... Anywhere from 11:30 until 3.
Okay.
We're packed, but people know that it turns over fast, so they just wait for a seat. It's on the honor system. You just kind of
wait
behind a seat, and then you sit down.
Okay.
But that's one of the charms of the place, is that it's always busy.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's like the Tides on weekends, where it can be totally packed, and people will just grab seats as they see them available. But I always pay attention to those times because I'm thinking... There's times where I can look at our front door where people are waiting, and they'll look at their watch, and they'll think, you know, I have an appointment in half an hour. I'm not going to have time, so they'll turn around and leave. So
yeah, that happens.
Yeah, and I would look at, you know, efficiency of your server or service from start time, from the time the guy sits down on that stool to the time that he leaves? Are the burgers coming out quick enough? You know, are the servers getting to them quick enough? Or are they so busy that it's taking too long to get to them, so they're sitting in that seat an extra 3-4 minutes while the guy's at the door turning around?
That's a good point.
Timing is huge.
When does your line start? What time do you start to run a line at lunch?
Oh, about 11:30.
Okay. Well, that's, you won't push it back too much farther than that.
Yeah. Well, and I just, efficiency. I mean, I know that my servers are real friendly, but there's a fine line with being friendly and spending too much time at a table and creating the turn that's too long. You know, have to be efficient but keep the momentum going.
Yeah, that's true.
And the patio seating, is that outdoor patio or?
It's an outdoor patio, and it depends on weather, of course.
Yeah, and I don't know, is the weather mostly nice there, isn't it?
Most of the time it's pretty nice.
Yeah. See, that's cool. But, you know, the seasonal stuff, I have to deal with seasons here, so my deck may be open today, but it's closed tomorrow. So.
Oh, yeah. We have, all together, we have 22 seats around the counter.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the tables outside, and we do about 800,000 a year.
Wow.
So it's pretty busy.
So lunch, like what do you do at a lunch time, what lunch period?
At lunch period, we do about 1,500.
Okay. That's pretty good.
And that's for 3 hours.
And then are you open for dinner or no?
Yeah, we sure are. We're open from 11 o'clock in the morning until midnight.
Oh, wow.
7 days a week.
Okay, so that's what I would chart out. Where are your lulls? So say your lull is from 3 to 5 and then from 9 to 12.
Right.
Pick
yeah.
those times and figure out something you could do as a special to draw people back in.
Yeah, to fill in.
Fill in those gaps.
That's a good idea.
And then pick the days of the week that are slower and try to create some excitement on those days. Because the other times you don't need to worry about it. You have enough people. And if people
start... No, you have plenty of people and plenty of... Yeah.
Yeah, and then just...
Kathy, I can't tell you how helpful it's been.
Well, you know, different eyes, you know. I mean, I'm not walking through your restaurant, but I know that just by hearing some of those things, it creates ideas because I'm not there and used to your environment. So
no.
Some of them may work and some of them may not, but just stuff to think about.
It's real helpful, and I appreciate both you and Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, thank you.
Now, do you allow smoking in the place?
No smoking.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
We were one of the first restaurants in Atlanta that had a no-smoking policy, and nobody seems to object.
Well, I would make sure you advertise that fact, too.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Good, because people may not know, and that might be a real driving force for them to be there. Just to know
Absolutely.
That you're not non-smoking.
That'll help your turn, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing to start to look at, and that's what Kathy was talking to, is start. Do you have a way to record your ticket times?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we do.
Okay. Is that a number? Do you know? So you know what it is and versus what it's supposed to be?
It's about 3 minutes and 20 seconds for the average order.
From the time it's placed until they've got it?
Right.
Ooh.
Wow. That's amazing.
Well, it's mostly hamburgers.
Yeah. When you just keep them going, 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 so you just turn in burgers out.
Yeah, we drop, you know, we drop ahead of the crowd.
Right. Right. Well, that's really good. Our ticket times are about 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, but you're serving a more complicated menu.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, and we're dealing with the archaic, well, not archaic, but our building's over 100 years old, so imagine that, with a new kitchen in it, but, you know, we're just dealing with, you know, lots of steps, but you'll have to come up to the Northwest sometime and check it out.
Absolutely, I shall. Well, in the meantime, thanks again. It was really nice talking to you.
You too. Good luck to you.
Thank you for arranging it.
Hey, not a problem. Appreciate you calling in.
Okay, take it easy now.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ben.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I figured you'd hang on. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. And I'm always surprised when, you know, we offer the resource and, you know, people don't take us up on it.
Well, you know, I, part of being a restaurateur person, you wouldn't believe how hectic it can get. Well, you know, when
oh,
you
I know.
See me
oh, I know.
At the Ties, and I say hi, and, you know, I give you about a half a minute, and then I have to fly. Because I don't know how he staffs his restaurant, but when I staff the Tides, it's like I am part of the team. It's not like Lou Piniella on the sideline. I'm pitching, or I'm the catcher that day, or I play one of the positions every day, because that's the way it works. That's the only way we can make money, really, because, you know, I'm a salaried person, but I offset some of that labor pool every day. And I make my other managers
well,
do the same thing.
Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's not a linear equation.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I'll give you an example. I was a client that I was working with, a long time ago now, probably 10 years ago, and had three franchise taco joints, and he said, you know, I'm out of ideas. My morale is in the toilet. My payroll's too high. My sales are flat. You know, you're so smart, come figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down and just to see what he was doing. And he had his managers, his managers were scheduled for 60 hours a week.
Right.
Plus they had homework.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled a line shift.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so you look at it and go, well, you know, that should help because, you know, you get 60 hours for the price of 40 and that's one less body that you have to handle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to him, and mostly I talked to his managers, and said, first of all, fire yourself.
Yeah. God, no kidding.
You know, but because he'd come in with all good intention, but it was just like, you know, a hurricane had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just, and all of his points were good, but it just totally demoralized the crew.
That's, yeah.
You know, this, what about paper in the parking lot, what about this, what about that, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then I said, put your managers on a 45-hour week and don't let them pull a line shift.
Yeah.
And he said, but that's going to blow my payroll. I said, hey, your payroll's already blown.
You know,
what do you got to lose?
Yeah.
And he did, and I think, you know, his managers were shocked because they never thought that he'd go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was that morale improved immediately because part of the problem was the managers were just fried.
Yeah, stressed out.
You know, so they relaxed and the place relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And when they could actually stand back and manage and they weren't caught up in the day-to-day doing of it or the minute-to-minute doing of it, then they could actually manage and they could say, well, we got too many people over here and we don't have enough people over there. And and within a week, payroll as a percentage of sales was right back down to where it had been before.
Right.
Plus it was going down because sales were going up because the place was running better and it felt better and when the guests came in, their experience was better because, you know, they can tell when everybody's pissed off and when they're not.
Right. Morale.
Yeah. So well, sometimes the logic of, gee, let me pull a line shift can work against you.
Yeah, I like the is that you?
No. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Who we got?
Peter Troutman here. How are you?
Peter Troutman.
Better late than never.
Not a moment too soon. we're getting all the East Coast folks calling.
I was going to say.
Peter's got a restaurant on Cape Cod.
Oh, wow.
Called Scargo Cafe. Very nice spot.
We went through a pretty similar experience from what I can tell.
Oh, really?
We went smoke-free about 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Our town went smoke-free about a year ago, so we were
cool.
A bit ahead of the curve.
Yes, we didn't have
a lot of bar business, but I can certainly relate to most of the things I heard you say
on the
tape or the CD.
Yeah.
It was sort of a brave thing that you did.
It was? Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if bravery had anything to do with it. Maybe greed. You know, I just thought, you know, you got to do something to make things better for everybody, for one thing, but, you know, to get people's attention.
It's a real hot button here. The whole Cape, we have about 10 towns, and they have all gone smoke-free but one at this point in the last year or two.
Oh, wow.
And it's interestingly enough, one of the main reasons I wanted to call in was to sort of share with you some of our experiences lately now that all the other towns, and our town in particular, has gone smoke-free.
Yeah.
we lost a lot of our smoking clientele,
a lot,
meaning about 10% of our clientele, which we more than recouped with folks that wanted a smoke-free environment.
Cool.
But now that everyone else has gone smoke-free, those smokers are coming back.
Ah, because they have to eat.
Because they can't smoke anywhere now.
Right.
So now it's okay. Interestingly, though, our non-smoking clientele, people who came here because we were smoke-free, because everyone else is too,
mm-hmm.
are starting to sort of drift off as well. So
mm-hmm.
there's no real net increase, but we're sort of swapping folks around a bit.
Right. Did you get an initial push when you first went non-smoking?
We took a dip. We did it at the worst time of year, which was January.
Okay.
So, forced everybody outside. So, we obviously the first month or two until the word was out,
mm-hmm.
Slowed down a bit. But as time went by, it got to be the thing,
mm-hmm.
what we were known for. So.
Yeah. Well, most of the restaurants here in the harbor are starting to go smoke-free. So we're creating a little, I guess, they call it Fresh Air Gig Harbor, but kind of like what you're talking about. It's not the entire town, but they're kind of aiming towards that venue.
Sure.
But
I think the trick is to while you've got them, while you have that unique position,
mm-hmm.
to lock them in so tight that they might not have found you before that,
mm-hmm.
and just lock them in so tight and build that loyalty. So
exactly.
when those other options open up, that they're not as attractive as they used to be.
Right. Right. And people, you think about your menu. I always give people the credit that, they're not going to want to eat pizza and burgers and fish and chips three times a week, but maybe twice a week, and then they're going to go across the street here and get a steak and down the way and have we don't serve hard liquor, but maybe they'll go down there and have a couple cocktails. So we're kind of a small little unique setting, but people kind of like to mix it up. But like Bill says, I like the fact that they come to the Ties because it's more than just food. It's really a culture. People meet here and they hang out here and they watch the games here. And but the non-smoking thing, our test will be in the next couple of months because we're going to start spiraling down as far as sales go.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, they got a lot of the same seasonal stuff going on that you do.
Yeah.
So how long have you been smoke-free now?
Started June 5th, so.
Oh, of this year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah, so
you haven't gone through the season where they have to step outside yet.
No, although they've always had to step outside, but not in the freezing cold.
Right.
And they've got cover, but I was out there the other day when it was windy, and I'm thinking, holy cow. This
you know what all the bars are and the what I call pubs uh-huh. that, have a real pickup truck clientele here
mm-hmm.
Are doing now is they're adding decks.
Uh-huh.
Then they put an awning over it. Then
yep.
the next thing you know, they've got a couple of tables out there. Then they put one of those, clear plastic
mm-hmm.
curtains down. Next thing you know, they've got another indoor area. Now, this is obviously in the last year or two since it's been forbidden, they're pushing the envelope, so to speak.
Right.
But it's interesting. I have a real hard time really endorsing an outright ban by the towns, even though, because it was our thing by choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I believe that every restaurant should be able to decide whether or not they offer it, offer a smoking or non-smoking environment.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the one reason that I look at is, as you mentioned on the CD, is it's the staff have to live in that and work in that environment. And I think down the road, restaurateurs are set up for serious liability issues from a workman's comp standpoint.
That came up in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, there was a waiter that a non-smoker, but came down with lung cancer from X number of years of work in the smoking station,
yep.
and got a comp judgment on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and he actually did get the judgment.
He got the comp judgment, yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. Well, I have a gal here that doesn't smoke that went in for a physical to get life insurance because she had a baby, and they classified her as a smoker.
But because she was a waitress.
Because she was a waitress at the Ties and never smoked. and just breathing all this air, but now she's got it, changed finally because she's not breathing it anymore. But it's amazing.
Yeah.
You go to the doctor and they think you're a smoker because you breathe secondhand smoke. So, yeah, I'm concerned about the public as much as my staff too, and just the atmosphere. And I've got plenty of friends that smoke, and I just out of respect for everybody else.
What percentage of your staff smoke?
I think about, there's 52 right now. I think about half right now. Yeah.
We're a little less than half, but I have a big problem with the staff going out having a cigarette when, you know, taking a smoke break or whatever and coming back in, because now that it's a non-smoking environment,
yeah.
It has been.
They come out smelling like cigarettes.
They already smell like smoke.
And, you know, I force them to wash their hands. That's the rule. You go out and have a cigarette, you come back, you wash your hands.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just clings, and especially in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of the point where I pull them and say, you know, I'm like, look, you stink.
Yeah.
You know? Cut it out.
Well, I was thinking, you know, way, way, way back when I worked at this restaurant called Ray's Boathouse, and it's very famous. It's on the water. And the owner used to give people incentives. Like, I can remember back then.
Too.
Yeah, $100 if they quit smoking.
$200.
Okay,
yeah,
see.
You know what I did? I quit smoking myself years ago with a patch. And I you know, figured out the whole patch program cost $200. And I offered anyone here, hey, look, I did this successfully. If you want to do it, I'm more than happy to pay for it. Well, I did it with a couple of people, kept them giving them money, and they weren't, you know, they weren't invested in it.
They weren't buying patches.
I said, you go buy them, and as soon as you're clean for 3 months, I'll give you $100. And as soon as you're clean for 6 months, I'll give you another $100.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And I had 4 staff members do it, quit for a year or so, and then go back. Not one of them is still clean.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, it's so addictive.
It is. I'm still a smoker, you know.
Yeah. Well, right.
Yeah, I mean not in reality, but I mean like an alcoholic. I'm always a smoker. I could slip in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of nervous about this upcoming season and how that's going to all pan out. But
it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it will be, and like you say, people will switch over. The smokers will go down the street, but they'll come back, or the non-smokers will get tired of coming to the Tides, but they'll come back. I mean,
well, if you're that big a meeting place and a real, you know, a part of the community, they'll come no matter what. You know?
Yeah, well, there's tons of personality there.
Yeah,
and you know, it's right on the water, so it's kind of a cool spot to just sit and hang out.
I was amazed at the one thing you said on the thing that you don't even allow smoking on the outdoor deck, though, huh?
Yeah, and it's funny because Peter, the owner, is kind of wishy-washy on that. He's thinking in the fall or in the winter we're gonna have to let people smoke out there. What we do is we take down the deck in the next couple of months, bring the chairs in and undo the tables and put everything to bed, and basically it's just a vacant area then. So.
Do you have a prevailing wind there?
Oh, every once in a while, yeah.
Meaning, is there one area that the wind tends to blow? I mean, could you strategically make the deck 50-50? Have a smoking area on the deck only?
No. In fact, there's a wall that kind of divides the deck from the actual water, and that would actually encompass the smoke.
I see what you mean.
But on the opposite side of that wall, outside the front doors, is where the smoking area is, and it is covered, and... you know, I think it's relatively comfortable unless the wind's coming the other way, or snowing, or, you know, rain.
Well, I mean, we get snow for 3 days a year.
Yeah, and, I mean, I guess you just have to put a coat on and go out there. Maybe it'll make them buy more beer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hot toddies.
Hot toddies. I'll have to start selling hot spice wine again. Yeah. So what kind of volume do you do, Peter?
We're relatively small. We seat about 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer, we're very busy. We do about 350 dinners and 200 lunches a day.
Wow.
For a small place, it's pretty high volume. But in the winter, it cuts right in half pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing all right in the winter lately. So.
Are you right on the water? Or?
No, we're about a mile from the water.
Okay.
We're across the street from a summer stock theater.
Oh, that helps.
Pretty busy summer, 12-week theater season, which is good and bad, but
that
makes our summers sort of easy.
Yeah. And how big's your staff?
30 in the off season, swells to about 55 or 60 in the in season.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
You're never bored, are you?
No.
Me neither.
Plenty to do.
Yeah, it's fun.
Did Robert from Reluctant Panther ever call you?
No. And actually, I took a quick look at his website. It seemed interesting. It's pretty upscale, though. Huh? That's unusual.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, very. It's a nice spot, but he was looking for upscale seasonal, and I mean, I wouldn't exactly classify as upscale, but definitely seasonal. And
you know what we're ending up having good luck with now, Bill, is this which you're probably familiar with, is Rich Plainfield's guest book program.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been working diligently at it. We had a mailing list anyway, which we started with, and luckily we had birthdays and anniversaries. But once we made the commitment with him, he's doing heavy mailings for us. What we're doing is just mailing to only local folks in the summer.
Uh-huh.
I almost considered not mailing at all, but I didn't want to disappoint anyone.
Yeah.
And then in the wintertime, we just make the area bigger. And we're mailing to off Cape, within about a 200-mile radius, and folks that have summer homes are coming down specifically just because they get this gift from us. And it's really generated some traffic. And we added the Moving Targets program as well, which starts actually in a day or two.
Oh, great.
We did a mailing a few days ago. So that's really working pretty well, and that's all we're doing for advertising right now.
Wow. And you mail them bulk mail something that says?
No, not bulk mail. It's all first-class personalized letters.
Oh, wow.
Sent out to a mailing list, which is now over 8,000 solid cast-certified guests.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. That's great.
So I'll be anxious to see what the winter is like, because our winters can get pretty desolate here. Is your season real seasonal?
We go down from, we'd probably start doing half in the next month here of what we did on August and September.
Is it because you're waterfront or because the area is seasonal?
Both. Yeah, we are waterfront. Gig Harbor is a destination spot, for tourists. But it's also, home for a lot of people, but those people tend to stay home in the winter and do the family thing, do the school thing. And,
sure.
We create some excitement with some parties and events and so forth, and we've got all of our regulars, but, we drop. Plus, we are an older building, and we're working on warming it up a little bit, but it gets kind of...
Do you have a fireplace? Or?
No. There used to be one before I was there. I would love to do something like that, a fireplace or some kind of draw.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Kathy, I was just looking at on Moving Targets, and they said for 98335, there's an average of 155 new families every month.
Oh, really?
That's just one zip, and you add surrounding zip codes. We're doing about 10 zip codes.
Wow. And that's what you mean by target? You target the new people?
No, that's
people?
The moving target.
That's
when
moving.
Starting.
Okay.
Basically, the idea is that, these guys come into town, they don't know anything about anything.
Right.
They don't have any loyalties. They don't. They don't know where to go.
Right.
And if you make them an offer, the first place they find out about is you. And
mm-hmm.
being creatures of habit.
Yeah, they stick to
it. If you start the habit.
Huh.
That's a new mover program, basically.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. I think Moving Targets is unique in that they're two things. First of all, they require no contract, so it's 1 month at a time.
Mm-hmm.
They're really... committed to getting you on board and making sure you're happy with the program,
mm-hmm.
Much like you would be with a new guest.
Right.
And they are also tend to clean their targets better than others. You can clarify that number, actually, Bill. A lot of those are people that move from within the zip code. There's also people that slip through because of change of title and ownership. So that number, realistically, probably would mail to about half of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can filter those out. They can also filter out by demographics like, if you wanted to only mail to female residents versus
mm-hmm.
male residents, if you had, a ladies' night or something,
mm-hmm.
some reason you'd want to target. They can filter it out based on income, a lot of different things. So.
Wow.
It's worked okay with us. We're mailing about 300 to 400 a month is what they're expecting to send out. So
that's
curious. And it's about $1 a piece, a little more than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you get them to come in, it's well worth it.
Well, it beats throwing an ad in a general circulation paper and hoping that something happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can you, what am I trying to figure out? How can you measure the return?
Exactly.
I mean, do they bring in a coupon or is there?
Oh, well, this is, it's discounting, but at least it's discounting in the form of a gift. You're giving somebody something as a welcome gift.
Okay.
And theoretically, they would only get one ever.
One ever, so
unless
then
they
you.
move out here and back to your area again,
So you can track that, though, because
they
have to bring in something.
Yeah.
So you can see if it's working.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Huh.
kind of like being there when the moving van arrives.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, say, look, you don't want to cook tonight. Come on down. Let me buy you dinner.
Yeah, have a pizza.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
But otherwise, you know, I mean, and actually for you, get them to familiar with your pizza might not be bad, because otherwise they'll call Domino's, because that's the one name they know.
Yeah, yikes.
And now they say, oh, that's where we get pizza now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a bad idea. Think about all the money you spend on advertising that you don't see it come back.
Yeah.
You know? It'd be nice to see how it's coming back to you.
You probably already discussed this to some degree, but what kind of promoting of the non-smoking did you do? Did you do display ads and that kind of thing to let people know that? Or how did you let people know you were going to smoke free?
We have a huge storefront that you can see as you come down the hill and come back up the hill, and just huge Tides Tavern sign. Underneath that we went non-smoking and the date. So that was up for like a month.
Oh, wow.
And then we put in little teaser ads.
Everybody in town sort of drives past this.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's not the center of town, but it's the one of the ways in and out of town.
Uh-huh.
So you could see that pretty prevalently. We did some teaser ads in the local papers saying the date and kind of we're not blowing smoke. Kind of teaser ads, not telling them exactly that we're going non-smoking, but letting them know that something's up. Then we did a bunch of in-house table tents things, and then we had the servers wear buttons with the date, there was verbal things. Then we did some interviews with the local paper and the Tacoma paper, which isn't as local, with the owner. We did a lot of PR out there, getting the word out, and local health clubs, letting them know. So, trying to let people know as much as possible. So, we might have to do another reminder that, you know, Tides is non-smoking. Come down in the fall. Walk out with clean clothes.
Yeah.
clean smelling clothes.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Yikes. So, hopefully it'll bring us some new business. I don't know. Keep my fingers crossed.
Well, it has made the place easier to clean and speeded your turn, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, totally. I mean, we've had 2-3 months of record numbers, and I can't tell you if that's because of the weather being nice or services better or non-smoking, but I think non-smoking has done something. For sure.
Well, I think it's one of those things you just need to keep reminding people of.
Yeah.
I mean, we sort of assume that, but you know, of course they must know it.
Yeah.
But you know, you've got new people coming in all the time, and it's, you know, I never really thought about it much.
Yeah.
Or, you know, keep it top of mind as a point of difference.
Right.
I've been amazed over the years as we've done 3 major additions to our building and changed the entrance and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
so that it was noticeable, suddenly noticeable to folks. How long it would take until folks stopped commenting on the change when they walked in the door
mm-hmm.
goes to show you that not all your regulars are regular every week. Some of your regulars come once a year for their birthday. It really is a year plus until almost everybody, 90% of you know your clientele, is familiar with any kind of changes.
Yeah.
We still have people come in the door, oh, when did you move this or when did you do that? And it's like been like 3 years. I'm like, well, it's been a while since you've been in.
We used to not be full service, and I still have people. They used to have to come to the counter and order. Bill, do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
And I have people that.
And you went full service.
Yeah, and people will say, "Do we order at the bar?" So I say, "Boy, it's been a while."
Well, yeah. So that ought to show us. How long it takes to educate the public. It is a formidable task. So, as Bill said, you probably need to continue to remind them that you are smoke-free or pout it as something.
Well, there's an opportunity there because, you know, when they comment on that, it says, okay, that gives you an idea how long it's been since they've been there.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, here's the things that have changed since you were here. Let me tell you about those.
Yeah, there's that
because
point.
The rest of it may not be as obvious.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And at the very least, you know, you need to keep filling in the blank. You know, I go there because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've always got to have that answer
right.
ready if you want them to make the move.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when do you still got a little bit of business, Peter?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Our major dip doesn't come until after Columbus Day.
Oh, okay.
We have all the Europeans and Canadians and bus tours and basic yuppie weekenders too this time of year, right through Columbus Day, which is the middle of October. After that, it starts to dip significantly until Christmas, and then dips again January and February until March and April starts to pick up again. But it gets a little less difficult each winter, but it's a nice break, actually. The summer's so full throttle that it's almost, you know, you're so exhausted from summer you don't have time to even try to make it busy again.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, though, because you get geared for that. It's sort of like, you know, like kids who just get so geared to the idea that I'm going to have the summer off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if they didn't have summer off, they wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes.
True. Yeah.
True. I would love to have a more consistent flow to things, and that's probably the most formidable task that we're up against, is adjusting to the seasonal variations that in staffing and in the number of dinners you serve and that kind of thing.
You change the menu in the winter?
Yeah, we've been actively trying to change it on a regular basis, but yeah. But, you know, that's another thing, too, is that, you know, with the change of staff, the more times you change it, the tougher it is to get everybody up to speed. It's sort of like, if you ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, education.
See, part of what I'm thinking of is if there were some things that were really neat items that were only available in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is, everybody's starting to look forward to it because middle of October, we go into the winter menu, and now this is available.
Yeah.
That could be something, you know, some reason to
we do that
to bring people back.
We have a dessert that we stole from a place in Washington, D.C. called S'mores. Have you ever heard of there's a restaurant, I can't think off the top of my head what the name of the place is. That's all they do is s'mores. You do tableside, you give them a poo-poo platter with Hershey bars and graham crackers and marshmallows, and they roast them there on little wooden skewers. They throw in s'mores tableside. And we do that in the wintertime for that very reason. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
The reason we don't do them in the summer is because we're trying to work more of a turn in the summer, and they take forever. And once one party has them, it smells the whole dining room. You know, that caramelized marshmallow smell permeates the place. But it's a real popular thing. We give them an 8x10 laminated instruction card with it. That, you know, it's with pictures and how to make s'mores and that kind of thing, too. So it's sort of neat. Novelty thing. I should put it on our website. Just dawned on me, I've never done it.
Yeah.
Great idea.
But again, it's the kind of thing where, you know, we don't want to, it's almost one of those things you got to know about it.
Right.
Right now, we're not even pushing them. People ask about them, and we'll serve one. And then once you serve one, you've got them everywhere.
Yeah.
So you got to sort of be in the know.
Well, people like to be able to do things that other people can't do, and they like to know things that other people don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
Well, listen, I appreciate your time. Thanks for, glad, you know, we were just...
I was just saying goodbye when I booted in there, so thanks for holding.
No, that's good. I mean,
that's great.
I've got to do this to catch her, so every time I go over there, she's running around like the like the headless chicken.
Bill, how's it going with Joel? You done with your Oddfellow thing?
No, we're doing... We've done two in North Carolina. We've got two in Wisconsin in a couple of weeks. We've got three in South Carolina. We've got one in Kentucky.
Oh, wow. Huh.
And some interest in Rhode Island, some interest in Washington.
Oh, wow.
So there's a...
Yeah, if you're up in Rhode Island, I'd certainly get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
well, I mean, I'd talk to Peter Christie and try to, you know, but though I've never... The Massachusetts Association is one I've never done anything with.
Huh. Huh. Bill Main... did some stuff with our Halsmith Cisco rep here
in conjunction
with Nabisco for a while. That was how I was introduced to him. But other than that, I don't see a lot of that kind of thing in our area at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because people just don't want to get together or what it is.
Well, the Cape is tough because you do it, you know, everybody's there in the summer, but they're too busy. And in the winter, nobody's got any money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, and even statewide, it just seems like a, I don't know. Situation where people don't, you know, they just sort of, they're not really, they're too smart for their own good, I guess.
Well, who knows? I mean, part of what I'm looking at is how do you take this information and what form do you put it in, and maybe we end up with some, you know, offer by mail of a, you know, seminar in a box kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that becomes the drill.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'll actually get around to cleaning up those tapes from the summit.
Yeah. Oh, right. Right.
But maybe we'll just make those available as a registration premium for next year.
Yeah, yeah, good idea.
Anyway,
are you still planning a summit?
I want to do one that focuses on more on the just people issues this time.
Uh-huh.
Staffing, retention, all of that type of thing. How to live with a chef. You know?
How to live with a chef.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people want to upgrade their food program, but they're a little bit reluctant because they say, "My God, I'm going to get this chef in here," and I don't know how to.
No doubt about it, too. If you didn't like what you had to say or what Bill Main had to say, you just waited for the next one. There was something for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, instead of marrying yourself to one guy, that was the aspect that I liked about it, and it gave you the different perspectives and Phyllis Ann Marshall and the food thing and. That was the part that I really appreciated, and if you're to do another one again, I would wholeheartedly be in favor of sending my whole management.
Oh, that's great! Yeah, I think we'll probably do it with a few less people, just in terms of the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
I think we probably had five or six might have been fine.
Yeah,
you know, you start to get eight, and then it's. You know, if you're really into what somebody's doing, you don't have enough time to develop it. So that's part of what we're doing is just finding the range on that. But I was pleased with it. This was a conference we did in April,
mm-hmm.
Before you got on the list.
And
sort of a stealth conference in Seattle.
You told me that was right when I met you, though.
Oh, really?
Right out. Well, you had it right before I met you.
Because Max was here, right?
Yeah, Max was in town.
Yeah.
And then you were telling me about it. I said, "That sounds cool."
Yeah, we had to go on without you.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, well, we kind of run out of our time on the bridge here, so I'll
say goodbye to both of you.
Tie it up. Thanks for
hi, Peter.
Thanks for checking in, Kathy. Thanks for making the time.
You betcha.
Take care.
Okay, bye. Guys. Bye.
Okay, so long.